We're in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Yud Ches. David had been wandering around with his men, and he heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, and normally they made a large banquet at the time, and Nabal was a very wealthy man. So David sent 10 of his Na'arim, 10 of his lads, to Nabal to ask him to help out. And Nabal rebuffed him and scorned him and said, now is the time when many avodim, many slaves are breaking free from their masters, and why should I take my own bread and water and the meat that I shechted for my workers, and I should all give it to people I don't even know where they're coming from? And they were sent away. They came back to David, and they responded what Nabal had said. And David told his men, everyone should put on their sword. If they feel that Nabal deserves to be killed, he's a Moreid B'malchus. And they set out after Nabal. Abigail, Nabal's wife, heard this, and she went to David to see if she could save the life of Nabal and to speak to David. Abigail was one of the Nevios, one of the seven Nevios that Chazal mentioned. She had prophecy. She was a tremendous tzaddikus, and she seemed to be stuck together with her husband like Nabal. The truth is, there's a Gemara that discusses in the beginning of Sota. The Gemara says, "Eimim zavgim a wife to a man elolafi maisav." That a person's shidduch is based on the way he is. A tzaddik ends up marrying a tzaddikus, and a rasha ends up marrying a wife that's appropriate for him. And it bases on a pasuk, "Hilo yanuach shevet haresh al goral ha-tzaddikim," that rishayim and tzaddikim don't go together. And the Gemara asks, "What do you mean? 40 days kodim yitzirus havlad? There's already an announcement, bas poloni liploni, that this is going to be the shidduch before a person's ever born." And a person has bechira, a guy can do what he wants with his life. And the Gemara answers, one is the zug rishon and the zug sheni, which commonly is understood to mean the first marriage is determined before a person is born. And the second marriage is depending on how he conducts himself. But it's a difficult Gemara, and there's a lot of discussion in the Mefarshim of exactly what the significance of it is. And over there, I think the Yaivitz already mentions that Zug Rishon and Zug Sheni doesn't mean the first marriage and the second marriage, but it's possible you can have somebody like Abigail who is destined to really marry David, and for whatever reason, she ended up marrying Nabal, and he was a tremendous Rasha, and she was opposite, she was a Tzaddikus. How that works in Gan Eden, where they sit together, the husband and wife. I guess I don't know. Kadosh Baruch Hu has cheshbonos what happens. But Abigail's true shidduch was David, as we'll see later on. But right now she's stuck with a husband like Nabal, and Nabal right now is in danger of losing his life. David is coming with his men. So in Pasuk Yud Ches, "Vat maher Abigail." Abigail hurried. "Vatigach masayim lechem," and she took 200 bread. "Ushnayim nivle yayin," and 2 jugs of wine. Now that's a lot of bread. 200 breads. When Yishai sent David to bring food to his brothers who were at war, he sent them with 10 loaves of bread for the 3 brothers, and it lasted for a few days. He sent them with 10 breads. Here she sent him with 200 breads. You can have an idea of what kind of a party it was. I assume she didn't send the last bread that there was. I assume there was such an abundance of food that she was able to send 200 breads. On the other hand, there's only 2 jugs of wine, which doesn't seem to be sufficient. But later on, we have David was. When David was running away from Avshalom, and Shmuel days Perek Tes Zayin, it says over there that Siva came and also brought 200 breads and brought 1 jug of wine. And over there the Pasuk says, in Shmuel Bey's Pasuk Tez Zayin, he explained that the bread is for everyone to eat, and the wine is Lishtos Hayoif Bamidbar, that the weary one in the desert could drink. That the wine here wasn't, in other words, they would drink water. I guess she couldn't ship everything, so they'll drink water. But she sent a small amount of wine, like later on a little amount of wine for the person who just needs something a little stronger, that he's so weary, almost for its medicinal purposes. But be that as it may, she sent 200 breads, 2 jugs of wine, v'chamesh tzona suyois, 5 sheep that were prepared. One pshat is, Rashi brings down, it was stuffed. They put in little pieces of meat and eggs, and they had some type of stuffing in this sheep. Or it could be it was roasted, and the innards were roasted together with it. Rashi brings down, from the Targum, Tachpara, like the innards were hanging outside of it, and it was like a whole sheep, which was a choshava gift. But she sent 5 sheep that were prepared, ready to eat. V'chomesh se'in koli, 5 sof parched grain, and the parched grain, once it's parched, doesn't spoil. U'meyot simukim, and she sent 100 raisins, or 100 clusters of raisins, or barrels of raisins, but she sent, I guess, quick energy, or she sent the raisins. U'masayim tevelim, and 200 cakes of pressed figs. V'atosam al hachamorim, and she placed it on the donkeys. Now, normally, though, the derech of a woman is not to necessarily go out, leave her domain, and bring food, whatever, to men. In fact, we've had before the whole idea of Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis, that the whole reason why the women are mutter is because the men, there's a tain al devar shilukid moeschem balechem uvayayin. They didn't come and greet Klal Yisrael with bread and wine. But a woman's not expected to go out. But obviously Abigail realized the urgency. There was no hesitation at all. She hurried and she sent this food, because otherwise David's coming with a sword. So she quickly prepared this food. And Chazal point out, it's like it's say, L'havdol in English, a stitch in time saves 9. But if Neville would have responded properly when he got the request, he probably could have sent a small present to David. Now already it was urgent. Oh, she sent whatever, she sent a tremendous, tremendous present, because, you know, kulei haivu ulai, maybe with such a present, David will let them off without killing anyone. So she placed all of this on the donkey and sent it. Vatomer li noreha, and she told her lads, Iru lefonai, go ahead of me. Hinani, here I am, achareichem bo'o, I'm coming after you. But you should get there first. Like we had with Yaakov and Esav. He sent the present beforehand, so that it should soften up Esav, and then Yaakov will arrive. Here also, let him see, there was an initial rejection, but the food arrived. The food's coming, and I'm following. Uli Yishah Novo lo higida. She didn't tell her husband Novo what she did. Because she knows, if she would have told him what she did, he would have been angry, and he would not have agreed. In Yeridaya, in Simon Reish Mem Ches, Sif Dalid, the halach is brought down that you're not allowed to accept a large sum of money from a woman for tzedakah, from a married woman. Because you don't know if the husband's going to be maskim. A small amount, you can assume that the normal husband expects that his wife should give a little money to tzedakah, so a small amount is allowed. Of course, small and large probably depend on the family income and what type of, what the family setup is. But if it's a tremendously large amount of money, which is more than the norm, you're not allowed to accept it. Because even though she may feel it's a mitzvah and it's a zechus, but if the husband's makbid, she can't give a large present. A small amount she could. But if you know for sure that the husband's makbid, even a small amount you're not allowed to take. The husband has an obligation to give tzedakah, and he has an obligation to take care of his wife, but for her to take his money to give tzedakah, if he doesn't want, she's not allowed, even a small amount. So the question over here is, This is exactly what happened. Abigail prepared a large present, and her husband didn't know about it and wouldn't have wanted, and she sent it to David. Now, on Abigail, it's not a question, because she did it, it was pikuach nefesh. In other words, whether the husband wants it or not, she's saving his life. So she had to send the present. The question is on David. How did David accept such a present? He should have said, you know, it's us, it's not allowed. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Daf Mem Ches, that a Morid B'Malchus, if somebody rebels against the king, and he's Chayiv Misan, he's killed, the possessions go to the king. It becomes the royal, it belongs to the king. It could be David right now is going to kill Nabal. He set out with his men, they all put on their sword, because they paskened, he was Chayiv Misa. And if Nabal's going to be killed for rebelling against the king, everything that he has belongs to David. So therefore it was understandable that David accepted the present. The problem is that we'll see in a moment, when Abigail meets David and speaks to him, David decides not to kill Nabal. So once David decides not to kill Nabal, once again he shouldn't be allowed to accept it, and we'll see later on, after the whole discussion in Pasuk Lamed Hey, it says, Vayikach David miyada, David accepted from her whatever she had sent. So he accepted it, even though he was going to keep Nabal alive. He accepted it because, we'll see, Abigail felt that David didn't have a din of a king yet. Well, you know, actually, let's take a look at the Gemara. It's, the Gemara ties together a number of different psukim, but the question is at what point to look at the Gemara. But there's a Gemara in Megill on Daf Yud Dalet. We'll mention it now. And the Gemara is discussing over there, it comes into Megillah because Esther was one of the seven Nevios, as Abigail was. So it discusses Abigail. And the Gemara says the Pasuk we're going to have in the next Pasuk. Pasuk Chof, for Yehi Rocheves al HaChamor, she was riding the donkey, V'yoredes B'Seser HaHor. And she was descending the hidden place of the mountain. That's what the Pasuk says. So the Gemara asks, the Seser Har, what do you mean? She's coming down the hidden place of the mountain. Min Har mi boilei. It should say she's coming down the mountain. Well, what's the significance of the hidden place of the mountain? And Chazal learned out, Amar Abba Bar Shmuel, al iske dam haba min hastorim. There's a lot more to the story than we're going to see in the Pesukim. What happened was, and Chazal mentioned in the Gemara later also, it seems like Abigail had uncovered herself when she was at a distance from David, for whatever reason. And the light, according to one shot, the Gemara says, V'holach lo'oyro gimel parsos. It could be the light went three parsos, whatever, she was so illuminating. The light went three parsos away and David saw her and was interested. And was driven by his yetzer hara to meet Abigail. In fact, some portions say that's what the Gemara means. Because there's a Gemara at the beginning of Brachos, that Daf Hei Dalet, or Hey, that says Rabbi Elazar was in a room, he was sick, and the room was dark. And Rabbi Yochanan came in, and he saw the room was dark, so he rolled up his sleeve, and the whole room was bright. So it's hard to understand exactly what this means, but somehow the Gemara seems to understand their beauty was so extraordinary. These were from the most beautiful people that there were, that when Rabbi Yechman rolled up his sleeve, the whole room was filled with light. And could be by Abigail also, when she was exposed, and it lit up three parsons away, and David noticed and was coming to see Abigail. Others say not v'holach le'oira, but v'holach le'ura, that the heat, whatever, the Yetzahara drove him to go three parses. But we'll see a little more as we go along. But David is now coming, Pasha Pshat, he's coming to kill Nabal, which is certainly the Pshat. The Gemara also mentions that he had noticed Abigail and he was coming to see Abigail. And he was, so the Gemara learns out, she's coming B'Seser HaHor. What she was referring to is something that's hidden. Al iske dam haba min hastarim. Meaning she had a question whether she was a nida or not. Blood that comes from hidden places, and she's going to ask David, what's the status? Is she Tame? Is she Tar? Now, we'll push it according, again, we're balancing the two reasons why David's coming. According to the reason that he's coming, because he was attracted to Abigail, once he hears that she's a Nida, she's Aser, so that puts a stop to it. Now, you'll say to me, forget about Nida, she's an Eish HaSi, she's married still. But again, some of Forshim learn that he was going to kill Nabal, and he was, we'll see in a moment, he was going to kill Nabal that night. And Nabal was finished. So he would have taken Abigail, right? And he would have killed Nabal. All would have happened right then. Nabal was Chayiv Misa anyways. But anyways, by mentioning this, that would put a stop to the Yitzhar. We'll see. According to the pshat that he's going to kill Nabal, the Gemara follows that. And she asked him this question. Not Ladan Veherasalo. And she showed it to David, to Paskin. The Gemara says in Brachas also at the beginning that David was an expert. He used to Paskin. Shomer Nafshi Ki Chosid Ani. He considered it as tremendous chasidus that he got involved in shailas that most people just don't want to deal with. It's dealing with blood and other questions like that, miscarriages and questions like that David dealt with, even though a lot of people would feel it's not their cover to get involved with that, but David did. So she brought this Amar lo. So David said to Vechimarin Dam Balayla, are you allowed to show Dam at night? Bizman Chazal, they were careful even with the shades of blood. Now, not every blood has a din that makes a person Tomei. There's different, there's five shades of Dam, and to discern exactly that you can't do at night. So why are you bringing the Shaila at night? Amar lo, and the Paiskim, by the way, discussed that. In other words, nowadays, you know, whatever, different Rabbanim will say different things, where they could look at night, they can't look at night. Some say it nowadays, now all red is no good. We don't differentiate shades of blood. Blood is blue, is no good. So they could look at night, or if it's well illuminated. But anyways, V'chimar and Dam Balayla, Amar lo, so she answered, V'chidonim dinei nefashas Balayla. You're paskening that Nabal's Chayav Misa. How can you do that at night? So by drawing him out, and as he himself pointed, you can't pasken certain things at night. So she said, how can you decide that Novel is Chayiv Misa? Omar lo, so David responded, Mayrid v'malchus hu. David is rebelling against the king. V'lo tzarech l'midainei, and he doesn't need to be judged in the normal manner. Normally by dinei nefashos, whenever the court case begins, you can't finish in one day, in a few hours, and paskin that the person's Chayiv Misa. It's got to remain overnight. If you started the case today, tomorrow you can come up with a guilty verdict, but you can't paskin guilty the same day and not at night. But by Amori B'malchus, certain leniencies are allowed, and if that was the psak of David's men in the Sanhedrin, so even though it's all on the same day and it's at night, it's allowed. Amraloi, she said to David, Adayin Shol Chayim, what do you mean he's rebelling against the throne? Shol is still alive, and people don't even know that you're the king. And we'll see later on that David accepted that argument. David accepted the argument of Abigail. But what she said was, David had felt that he's a Morei B'malchus. And Abigail said he's not. Either because David didn't have a din of a king until he's publicly acknowledged and accepted by Klal Yisrael, and as long as Shaul is the king, David doesn't have a din melech. He's anointed in advance, and it'll take effect at a later date, but at the moment he's not the king. Or it could be, and there's different pshatim in the Meforshim, that David had a din of a king, but you can't be rebelling against the king if there's a different king. So David is the king. But Novel's not Morid B'malchus for going against David. As long as Shaul's alive, you're not a Morid B'malchus for opposing David. Or it could be in general that Novel perhaps doesn't know. In other words, David could be the king and somebody going against him could be a Morid B'malchus. But here Novel didn't know that David was the king. So whatever the case is, she argued that Novel should not be killed. So we're back to our question. If David is not going to kill Nabal, how did he take all of this tremendous present from Abigail? She sent him all this food and wine, and her husband would have been makbid and never would have agreed. How did David accept it? So it could be there's a different leniency by a king. Besides the fact that the king can can punish a morid b'malcha, somebody who rebels against the throne, but a king can also make things hefker. A king can take what he wants. So the hefker of a king, the king decided he wanted to take it, he expropriated it. And the king has that authority. Or it could be that Neville was stingy. But with his wife, he understood that his wife can take what she wants. And if the husband has that understanding with his wife, he's not makbid on his wife, on what his wife spends. In other words, he himself isn't giving any tzedakah. But let's say, sister's wife, you can take whatever you need, whatever you want. In that case, she could give tzedakah, and she could, and she should. Because in other words, the husband's sort of giving it to her to do what she wants with it. In fact, the Sefer Chasidim gives this as the example, that Avigail was this type of thing, where Nova let her spend what she wanted, and therefore she had that right to give this tzedakah. And it could be, in fact, the Noda B'Yehuda discusses this. He has a similar shaila with a woman giving a lot of tzedakah when her husband didn't want. In Yoridea Simin Kuf Nun Ches, Madura Tinyana. And the Noda B'Yehuda says, we mentioned before that David and his men watched the sheep of Nabal. So it wasn't a case of tzedakah. David was owed that money. In other words, David helped out and provided monetary assistance to Nabal, and therefore Nabal was obligated to pay him, to reciprocate. So whatever she sent to him was well deserved. So she told an Arim, go before me. Leisha Nabal lo higida. She didn't tell her husband. And she sent the present. She was riding the donkey. And she was descending by the hidden place of the mountain, which we just mentioned, that Gemara, alluding to a whole discussion by which she pointed out, David answered, "All right, it's nighttime and I can't deal with these kinds of shailas." And she used that to save Nabal's life. And behold, Dovin and his men, Yordim Likrosa, were coming down the mountain to greet her. There were two mountains. She was coming down one mountain. They were descending the nearby mountain, and they're going to meet in the valley. They're both coming down the mountain. Vatifko Shosam, and she encountered them. And it's interesting how the Gemara finds, you know, Pesukim, you're in the middle of a story, and you don't think it's so... You know, where the Gemara asks, you know, gets into a detailed discussion based on... certain psukim. Over the Gemara says in psukim on Daf Gimel, we've mentioned the Gemara before, that the Gemara says a person has to speak in a very refined manner, and the Gemara mentions that you find in the Torah when it discusses certain types of tumah, of impurity, by a zov, by a man it says he's riding, it's called merkov, riding, and by a woman it says yosheveth, she sits. It doesn't use the expression of riding. Normally, when a man rides a horse, you straddle the animal with one leg on each side. That's the way you ride a horse. So merkov is used by a man. By a woman, he used the term yosheves. She sits. So Gemara asks, we see over here, v'hoya hi rocheves ala chamor. She was rocheves, was riding on the donkey. And the Gemara has a discussion, and the Gemara answers, I'll tell you the way the Marsha understands the discussion. Since she's traveling at night, so at night it's the derech for a woman to ride the animal, in order not to sit side saddle, or because it's, you're not as secure. And if you're riding at night and you don't know, you'll hit a pothole. At night, they would ride, and it's not a good night. It's not wrong to say that, because that's understood. That's the normal way for her to ride at night. If you want, I could answer. Maybe there was no fear for the night. Because even though, as we learned the psukim with the Gemara, she came at night, she was coming to say Sarahar, and it was nighttime. The Gemara understands it was nighttime, because David is going to say in Pasuk Chof Beis that before the morning he's going to kill Nabal. Nabal is going to be killed before morning. So obviously it happened at night. But you might argue it didn't happen at night. It might have happened the day before. But it's such a long trip till you get to Nabal. He'll arrive at Nabal's house at night, and then he'll take care of him. But this might have been during the day. So I could argue it was during the day. But her fear for David, David was coming with armed men, she was just very nervous. So when there's a fear of this is a life and death situation, she doesn't know what's going to be. The derech is to ride, and it's not a genai to say it. That's the way, that's the normal thing to do in a case like this. You could tell me it wasn't because of a fear of David, because we'll see later on at the end of the perek, after the whole issue is resolved in Pasuk Mem Beis, again it says Vatir Kaval Chamor, she rode on the donkey, and that was already after David was going to take her for a wife. So it even has nothing to do with being afraid, but it could be Biasusa Dahar Iko, that since he's coming down a mountain, there's a fear of coming down the heights, and therefore she rode this way. She's riding the donkey, and it uses that term. The Aretz B'Seser Ha'har, and David and his men are coming, Batif Goshasam, and they met. The David Omar, now David said, Poshet as Rashi says, this is what he was thinking. Achla Sheker Shamarti, it was, the whole thing was a lie, it was false. The fact that I guarded as Kol Asher Lozeh, everything that this person had. He didn't even bother mentioning his name. This guy, Novo. Such a lack of gratitude that I helped him out and he scorned my men with bizyoinus. The whole thing was a sheker that Shamarti is Kol Asher Lozeh Bamidbar. I guarded everything that he had in the desert, in the wilderness. I helped him out. Lo nifgad mi Kol Asher Lo Me'uma. And from all that he had, nothing was missing. We discussed that David's men helped protect them from marauders and from wild animals. And they were so good to Novel and the men. Vayoshevli ra tachas tova. And he repaid me with bad instead of all that good that I did for him. The bad is the bizyonis, the fact that he said to David, today is the day when a lot of slaves are breaking free from their masters. And that's the way, that's what he does to me. Obviously, David expected that with all that, at least common gratitude, and his men are in the desert and they're starving, and he sends a message, he should have responded. Koyase Elokim lo'ive David. So Hashem should do to the enemies of David. And he uses the term Elokim, which is Midas Hadin. Or as Hashem should judge with the full force of Midas Hadin. Koyase Elokim lo'ive David. So should Hashem do to the enemies of David, v'chol Yosef, and he should be more and more like this. Now, Pashup Shat, he's saying it should be a punishment on him. David is saying, I should suffer a similar fate, im asher mikol asher lo, if I leave over from all that Novel has, ad ora boker till the morning, mashtin bakir. Mashtin Bakir either means, literally can mean somebody who urinates against the wall. It could mean a man, any men won't be left, or a dog won't be left. Rashi has another pshat, it can mean anybody who's, Mashtin Bakir could mean anybody who thinks, anybody who has a heart to understand, meaning that the whole household would be wiped out. But what David was saying was, I should suffer a similar fate if I don't punish Novel. Such a... Morid B'Malchus is the legal reason why Novel is Chayiv Misa. But you see what David stresses the lack of gratitude, the midos, he's Chayiv Misa because he's Morid B'Malchus. He can't turn down David. At least this is before Avigail gives her angle to the situation. But such a lack of gratitude, they'll all be wiped out. And if they're not wiped out, that should happen to me. Now it's Koyasi, like made a Shavua, I guarantee it's going to happen. And even though Pashup Shat, it means that they'll all be killed, Mefarshim do also point out it could mean he just planned to kill Novel and take away everything that Novel had. Or he's not going to leave things the way they are. Everything's going to be confiscated, Novel will be killed, and if not, that should happen to him. But instead of putting the curse on himself, the derech is to, especially Akil as Chacham, always comes true. He said Hashem should do that to the enemies of David, but his intention was himself. It could also be his kavana was, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud Zayin, Meshiv Ra Tachas Toiva. If somebody repays evil instead of good that's done to him, somebody does a favor and the response is bad. Lo Samush Ra Mi Beso. A person who has that trait, bad times won't leave his house. In other words, he'll suffer. He'll get his punishment. David just said, Vayoshev li ro tachas tova, that Nabal paid me back ro tachas tova. And we know what it says in Mishlei, which would be written by Shlomo, but the lesson was known, that if somebody gives Meshiv ro tachas tova, he'll get his punishment. In Koyas Elokim lo'ovei David, Hashem should do to the enemies of David what that pasuk says happens. And a last shot is Koyas Elokim lo'ovei David. If I don't care enough about this, and it's my obligation, and it's only right that I should take a stand for the throne and punish those who are married by Malchus. And if I don't do it, so Koyas Elokim lo'ovei David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do for the enemies of David, V'chayosef can do even more, that Nabal should have what he has right now, meaning a good life. Meaning right now, Nabal at the moment has tremendous wealth and a tremendous party, and I know he's guilty of Misa. But if I don't take a stand, so you're right, all of the enemies of David, and give them a good life if I don't care enough to take action myself. Later on, we're going to see, there was somebody, Shimi ben Gera, who was a tremendous chacham, one of the great gedolim of the era, but he was against David HaMelech. And he cursed David, he gave him a klal on him retzis, he gave him a terrible curse. And he was definitely chayav misa. And we'll see at that point, David let it go. And the Me'am always brings down, how come over here, by Nabal, he immediately decided, he scorned David, and it wasn't even to David's face. We'll see later on, Shimi cursed him out, David, right to his face, and he was throwing dirt at him, and he was mevaza him, he despised him, and yet David said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, you know, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just leave it, and he didn't take action. And over here he did. But it could be over here, this is the beginning of his malchus. And David felt, and Avigail said, it's the beginning, but it's not yet the beginning. The beginning hasn't happened yet. But David felt the beginning was right now. And Shaul made a similar mistake. When he first became king, people said, my Yoshienu Zeh, well, how can he save us? Shaul? Nah, Shaul can't help us. And because Shaul let them go, Shaul lost, eventually was told he would lose the monarchy, and he lost it. David at the very beginning wanted to show he's king, and therefore he took a stand. Later on in life, he could be Moichel, but not at the beginning. It all could also be over here, the fact that David sent him with a greeting. He greeted Nabal, he sent his men to bless Nabal that he should have peace and everything should be good. And the response is one of scorn. That's worse than Shimi, who just on his own was Mavaza David. Also, over here, Nabal mentioned, who's this, me David and me ben Yishai. Who's David and who's the son of Yishai? It's like he put down Yishai also. So once he was Mavaza David's father, by mentioning, who's the son of Yishai? It was like a put down on Yishai, David felt he could take action. And he should. The Malbim says, That the reason why, actually, we'll leave the Malbim at this. David had his reasons why over here he took a stand against Nabal. But Tera Avigail saw David. She saw David. But Tamar, she hurried. But Tera me al hamor, and she went down from the donkey. Vatipo la'ape David, she fell by the face of David, alpaneu, on her face. Vatishtachu oretz, and she prostrated herself flat on the ground. But you see how with the haste and with the urgency and like a complete bittul, in other words, totally negated herself to David. Vatipo al-raglav, and she fell on his feet. Vatomer, and she said, be ani Adoni, in me. It's like a double expression. Be in me, ani I, Adoni, my master, Ha'avon, the guilt is with me. She took full blame for this. It could be she just had to stop David. And David's on his way to kill Novel. So she said something that's totally bizarre and it's shocking. When David, what do you mean? Avigail's responsible? Avigail could be was known to be an Isha, Tova Sechel, with a Bala Sechel. And it was known that Novel was no good. And she's saying she takes the blame. So immediately David's got to stop and hear exactly what happened. What do you mean that she's guilty? The sin is in me. It could be he's also referring to what we mentioned before, that she had exposed herself and David had noticed, and that's why he had come. She should have been more careful, even though it was in a place that was Tsanua and whatever, and David was far away. But whatever happened, she's taking responsibility for. Pashup Shad is, we'll see in a moment, she's going to say she didn't notice when the Na'arim of David came. As the Na'arim of David came to Novel and they asked for food, and Novel rebuffed them. She's saying, "Be ani adoni ha'avon." I guess she went through life almost. I mean, you can imagine the stress and the tension she went through. But she was putting up with a husband like Novel, and she had to correct all of the terrible things he was doing. But she was always on alert if somebody would come or whatever. Novel would try to hurt somebody or would wrong somebody. She would try to correct it. In her way. So over here she's saying, somehow I just wasn't around when the Na'arim came, and therefore I accept the guilt. I'm to blame, because if I would have seen your lads, I would have sent them back with some food, and I would have corrected the situation. But I'm to blame that I didn't catch this. And here the Malbim says, what she was saying is, this Novel has wealth and he has property, but you should know his reputation. He might have a reputation that he's a generous person and he gives. People know that he's stingy, but they know if you need food, you go to Novel. But that's all because of me. As people come to the house and I help them out, according to the heterim we had before, that she was able to give it, or she helped the people out. So people knew when they needed something, they could go to Novel, at least to Novel's household. Novel wouldn't give them. But she's saying, "Be ani adoni ha'avon." The truth is, it's all my guilt because of me. People think they can get things from Novel, and therefore you sent a message to Novel to help you out, and he didn't, and therefore you're now out to kill Novel. If I wouldn't have been so good, people would just know you can't get anything from Novel, and you never would have tried, and you never would have been married to Malchus, and we'd never have this whole problem. But whatever. She takes the blame. Be ani adoni ha'avon, the sin is in me. Usedaber noam moscha boznecha. Let your maidservant speak in your ears. Ushman, you should hear esdivrei ha'masecha, the words of your maidservant. Allow me to talk. I know you're on your way to kill Novel. First of all, hear me out and listen. Don't just stop for a few minutes, but my words should enter. You should hear what I'm saying. She addresses David as Adoni. Be ani Adoni, my master. And again in Pasuk Chof Hei, Al no yotzim Adoni es libo. My master shouldn't place his heart. She doesn't call him the king. Because of the, of course, her point is that David does not have a din of melech. So she calls him in a very respectful manner. She doesn't call him by his first name, they don't call him by David, but she calls him my master. On the other hand, she doesn't, of course, call him king, because she's saying that David is not a king. But al no yosim adoni eslibo, my master shouldn't take this to heart. El ish hablial hazeh, to this wicked man. Chazal say somebody who turns away from giving tzedakah is called a blial. And blial is the same term that's used for an oyved avodah zarah, for somebody who worships idols. The connection could be that a guy who doesn't give tzedakah because he feels it's his money, why should he share it, is lacking that hakara, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like he's operating under avodah zarahs that are different things that control his destiny. Almost his money could be is his avodah zarah. But it's a very strong term, Belial. Somebody who's oyved avodah zarah, the word itself is like Belial, without the yoke of Ol Malchus Shamayim. But he's an ish belial hazeh. Don't pay attention to him, al Novel. This person we're talking about, Novel.
Ki chishmo kainhu. Like his name, that's the way he is.
And I think Rav Shamsron Feuerl Hirsch is the one who gets the credit for the observation that the word shame in Lashon HaKodesh is the same words as shom there, because it's the same meaning. If you wanted to identify somebody, you could give me a whole bunch of periphery facts. You could tell me where he lives and who his family is and where his friends and how he's dressed and where he works. And you're beating around the bush and you give me enough information and I can guess who you mean. But if you really want to place him, if you want to tell me shum, where he is, you want to put your finger on him, the way to do it is with the shame, with the name. You don't have to give me all the facts. Just tell me his name. That's exactly where he is. And as we've mentioned before, in Lashon HaKodesh, the name is not just given randomly, but the name really assesses a person's potentials and his talents and what exactly he is. Ki chishmo kenhu, like his name, that's the way he is. Novol shmo, his name is Novol. He's a base person, a low, low type of person. Unevola imo. And he does Nevola disgusting things that are repulsive. Unevola imo, he's Nevola's with him. That's his name. Now, either it was a name that was given to him from birth, and for whatever reason, I don't know why somebody would call his child with such a name, but he was called Novol, and that's the way he was. Or it could be Novol Shmo, meaning that's the reputation he got. Or that's the name he made for himself. He's known as a Novol, because that's Novola Imoy. Novola's with him. That's exactly the way he is. So don't take it personally. Now, of course, the very defense of Novol is more of a reason it should be Chayiv Nisan. It wasn't just like even a one-time, you know, he lost himself or he wasn't thinking. This is his essence. But what she was arguing was, is true, he's so terrible, but you shouldn't kill him. Because you see the mice that we're managing. I don't know exactly what kind of a marriage this was, but the fact that she was protecting him and making sure that he didn't harm society so much, he's a Novol Shmo and a Novola Imoy, and that's the way he is. But he still shouldn't be killed. And the life goes on, and she makes sure that normally she sees what's going on, and she's able to correct all of his shortcomings. Also, it's his nature, and it's a big lesson in terms of judging people, that everybody has his own nature and his own innate abilities and talents. And for one person, if he doesn't give tzedakah, it's a tremendous, tremendous chesaron. And for the other person, it's wrong, and it's something he has to work on. He has to correct his midos. On the other hand, for him, it's a lot more difficult. So if Novol Shmo and Novol Imo, if that's the way his natural traits are, so he shouldn't be judged that harshly. He's born with a very difficult nature. Also, don't take it personally and feel, how can he treat me like that? Normally, there's only kin of this jealousy if somebody that's on a par with you treats you wrongly. But here, don't pay attention to him. Novol Shmo, Novola Imo, he's much lower. He's not on a level with you, so it shouldn't bother you whatever he says. His words of scorn don't mean anything. If a guy walks down the street and there's a shikr lying in the gutter and he yells something. So what do you care what he says? Ignore it. Vani amoscha. And I, your maidservant, lo roisius nare adoni. I didn't see the lads of my master, asher shalach, that you sent. I didn't see the people you sent. Ve'ato adoni. And now my master, chai Hashem. I swear by Hashem, this is a lashon of a shavua. V'chein afshecha, and I swear by your life, meaning I'm doing this for your benefit, she said to David. Asher minoacha Hashem mibo b'damin, that Hashem has caused to hold you back from coming into bloodshed. The very fact that Baruch Hashem, I was able to meet you before you got to Novel. And the Mefarshim also noticed, it never says if all that food that she sent ever arrived. I don't know if they were traveling at night. Some say it did arrive, but of course it doesn't have to be mentioned. Some say it could be they got lost in the darkness.
But anyways, she definitely found David. And by finding David, she's able to save Nabal's life. Hashem Menoach, Hashem Yibo V'damim. Hashem held you back from coming in bloodshed. Voshea Yarchaloch. And allowing your hand to bring salvation for yourself. That you'd fight for yourself and you do what you feel is right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped you. She gives the credit to Hashem. We'll see later on, David says to her in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, that you're blessed that you held me back. Asher ki lisanu hayom hazem mibo bedamim. The same expression. You saved me from coming in bloodshed. Boshea yodi li, and from allowing my hand to save me. David gives the credit to Avigail. But Avigail saying, this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Boshea yod chalok, that Hashem is preventing you from taking your own action. The Chiddush is David, with his men, who paskin that he was chayiv misa, Avigail was so certain that she was right, she used the lashon of chay Hashem, like I swear that Nabal should not be killed. And the Gemara brings down her argument that Nabal's not a murid b'malchus because either, as we mentioned before, David didn't have a din of a king or Nabal wasn't aware of it, but Nabal should not be punished. And she says it with such a certitude. And we'll see David accepts it, and David does not kill Nabal. Even though he swore, it's a tremendous chiddush. He said, "Kol yaseh Elokim lo'ovei David v'chol Yosef." He swore he was going to wipe out Nabal. But obviously it was made under mistaken pretenses. And therefore, David accepted her argument. B'chai Hashem v'chein nafshecha, that Hashem held you back, mibo b'domim, from coming into bloodshed. V'hoshea yod cholach, and that your hand should save and bring salvation for yourself. David himself said a similar expression when we just had in Perek Chof Dalet, when he cut off the corner of Shaul's garment, and his men had felt that he should kill Shaul. David had said over there when he was speaking to Shaul, he said, "Mirishoyim yetzei resha, from evil people comes out wicked things. V'yodi lo siyabach, and my hand should have nothing to do with it." And Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. David himself was aware of that he shouldn't do anything, certainly he shouldn't touch Shaul, who's the Mashiach Hashem. Over here, David has felt that he should kill Nabal, but she uses that same argument, that there are reasons to say that he's not Chayiv Misa, and you should not take action, Boshea Yod Chalach, and take the action into your own hands, HaKadosh Baruch will take care of it. The Malbim points out there are three reasons why David would avenge himself from Nabal. The first one is because Nabal is Chayiv Misa because of Mori B'Malchus. So on that she just points out, as we mentioned, that Hashem held you back, that he's not Chayiv Misa. The second argument, Va'ata, you notice he says Va'ata three times. He starts, "Va'ata Adoni, now my master, Hashem held you back from bloodshed." Ve'ata, in the same pasuk again, and now, this is the second argument. You chenovel oivecha. Perhaps you feel that Nabal should be killed, not necessarily because he's a morid b'malchus, but even if legally he's not, doesn't deserve misa because of that, but it's going to have an effect on the whole. People are going to take a lesson from him. People are going to take a lesson from Nabal, and if there's any reason that Nabal could be killed or should be killed, Nabal should get his punishment. It's setting a very dangerous precedent that you can just refuse to do what David asks. But va'ata now, yilcha Nabal oivecha. Don't worry about the effect on others. Your enemy should be like Nabal. The Radak says Nabal had no power to hurt David. If anything, take a look. Nabal didn't want to send any food, and David ended up with all this food. Avigail sent everything. Nabal's plans were thwarted. So don't worry about people are going to learn from Nabal. You can refuse the king. You, Nabal Oivecha, all your enemies should be as effective as Nabal, that they're not able to hurt David. V'amavakshim el Adoni ra. And those that seek to hurt David, they should have the fate of Nabal. And Nabal had no power at all. Rashi says, "You Nabal oivecha, again, she was saying Nevuah with Ruach HaKodesh. We'll say there's a Ruach HaKodesh again later on. But this is, according to Rashi, another example of Ruach HaKodesh. She's saying Novel's not going to live long. Even though you're not going to kill him, your enemy should be like Novel. Meaning it's going to be short-lived. You, Kenovel Oyvecha, those that are your enemies not trying to put down Dovid and be Mavazahim, should be like Novel. Those that are seeking to hurt, to kill David, they should all have the fate of Novel. Ve'ata. This is a third argument. Perhaps you feel that Novel should be, that you should take by force what Novel has, because you protected his sheep and Novel didn't respond properly. He owes you. He owes you. You helped him out and he didn't reciprocate. But va'ata now habrocha hazois. I'm giving you right now this present. Asher hevi shivchos chal adoni, that your maidservant has brought to my master. Or as I'm bringing you all that. So don't be concerned the fact you helped Novel and you weren't paid. It's here. V'nidna lana orim. So I guess according to this, it seems it did arrive. V'nidna lana orim. It should be given to the lads Hamishalchim Baragli Adoni who are traveling around with David. So you've gotten your payment, and therefore just leave Novel alone. She mentions it's not stucco. She says in a tremendous oifen of kovod, take this bracha, this homage. It's like a bracha is like a blessing. In other words, it's a gift. It's a present. To find favor. Take this bracha, asher hevi shivchoscha. The simple meaning is like asher hevi o, loshen nekeva, because it's something that she's brought. But it could be she's trying to give Novel the credit that whether Novel wanted to or not, it's Novel's food, Novel's money, asher hevi, and with the loshen zacha that her husband, it's all coming from her husband, asher hevi shivchoscha ladoni, and I'm delivering it. But take what's being brought. V'nidna la na'arim, it should be given to the na'arim. The truth is she meant it for David. But again, to say that David needs her food is making David like a nebuch. And David needs her help. It's more of a covetic to say, give it to the na'arim. And of course, David will take it for himself, whatever he needs. But it should be given to the na'arim, hamishalchim baraglei Adoni, who are traveling around together with David. So nolafesh amasecha. You should be moichel. You should leave over the pesha, the tremendous, like the rebellion, the tremendous aveira of amasecha, your maidservant. Or as I'm aware of the full import of the terrible thing that I did, which as we've mentioned, she really didn't do anything terrible, but she's taking the total blame. Forgive the pesha amasecha. Ki oso yase Hashem ladoni. Because Hashem will certainly do for my master and make him a bias neman. There'll be a faithful household. First of all, it's in future tense. Also yase, it will happen. Right now, again, you don't have the malchus beis David. You don't have the royal family. But it will happen in the future. Leave Novel, he's not a married by malchus. But in the future, you're going to have this bias neman. And as the Targum says, it'll be a malchu kiyoma. Nemon means something that lasts, that's trustworthy, meaning that it has a permanence to it. That's the expression you should be, build a bias nemon be Yisrael. Meaning this household, this family, should be around and should have a continuation through the generations. It should be a loyal family to Klal Yisrael. And it could be she's also hinting the fact, we'll see, Abigail ended up marrying David. And she's saying the time is coming where you'll be able to set up a bias neman, and she'll be the wife. But it could mean that, and it has both meanings. The royal family and his personal family. But Hashem will give you this bias neman. Ki melchamos Hashem Adoni nilcham. Because you fight the battles of Hashem. Totally l'shem shemayim. V'ro'a lo simotzei v'cho mi'omecha. And no evil, nothing bad will be found in you. Mi'omecha always. You'll always be clear of guilt. The Malbim explains that beforehand she gave three different reasons. why David should leave Novel alone. He's not a Murid B'Malchus. Don't worry that others are going to learn from his example. Don't feel you should attack Novel because you didn't get anything in reciprocation for all your help. Those are reasons to leave Novel. Now she's giving three reasons why, if he decides to do something to Novel, he's going to regret it later on in life. There are three reasons why he should leave Novel because of David's own self-interest. And she focuses on three separate periods of David's life. The first one was when he was fighting the battles of Hashem against Goliath and against the Plishtim. And she said, Ki osu yasa Hashem Adoni ba'isnem, and you'll end up being a king. And Ki mochamos Hashem Adoni nilcham, on your record it's known you're the one who fights the battles of Hashem. And there should be nothing bad found by you, miyomecha, always. People should look back on David and say he fought many, many wars. But it was all a shame shemayim. He never went ahead and he attacked another Jew for his own personal self-interest. To go to war with your 400 men with your swords and go and fight Novel and kill him, and it could be taken as you're doing it for your own personal interest. So therefore, for you, you're going to regret it later on if you do it. Vayokum adam lir davcha. The second tekufa of your life, the second period, is what you're going through right now. Shaul is chasing you. Vayokum adam lir davcha. A person, Shaul, he didn't call him a king. Right now he's just like a regular Adam. Ulevakish es nafshecha. And he's not just chasing you from one city to another and from one place to another, but he's actually after your life. He's not just putting you in exile. He's after you. But v'hoysa nefesh Adoni tzur b'tzror hachayim. The life of my master will be bound in the bond of life. Meaning, and we'll discuss this, it has many meanings. On the simple meaning, it can mean in this world. Right now, you're being pursued by Shaul, who's after your life. But don't worry. You'll be bound together with Hashem, who'll keep you alive. You'll be b'tzorachayim, you'll be kept alive. Eis Hashem Elokecha, together with Hashem, you'll have that closeness with Hashem. Veis nefesh oyvecha yikalena. And the life of your enemies. And it could be she's referring to Shaul, it could be she's referring to those who are Taka, you know, Shoim. She doesn't say exactly. But, in other words, Doeg, whoever's causing David to be pursued, the soul of your enemies will be like flung, yikalena, like shot with a slingshot. The soul kafa kala, like with a slingshot. Meaning, right now, you're on the run, and your life is in danger. Don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep you alive. And those people who are pursuing you, they will get a punishment that they'll be like thrown from one place to another, and they'll have a life of wandering. They'll get their punishment. And you'll be well off. So just hang in there. Don't kill Novel, and don't take the law into your own hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you. That's the second point. But on this idea of Oysa Nefesh Adoni Tzur B'Tzur HaChayim, we'll discuss this more in Yitzhak Hashem the next year, but to be bound in the bond of life is also an allusion. She's referring to the fact that after death, the neshamas of the tzaddikim are bound together with Hashem. And what the Mefarshim point this out, in the Torah itself, the promises of Chiyas HaMeisim in Olam Haba are not mentioned explicitly. They're not clearly pointed out. And the Gemara says, whoever says there's no reference to Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah won't be Zeichet Tchias HaMeisim. It's something that every Jew has to believe. It's from the Ani Mamins, but the Torah doesn't spell it out clearly. Because the Torah deals with something that Klal Yisrael is able to see in this world. And if Klal Yisrael keeps the Torah, there'll be rain and there'll be a blessing in this world. We'll see it in Olam Hazeh. The Torah doesn't promise you something that you can't see. Of course, there are Ramazim. You have to believe that it's alluded to in the Torah, but it's not stressed. In this pasuk, we find, and we'll discuss different ideas of what of Olam Haba. V'hois the nefesh Adoni tzrura b'tzror hachayim, that the life of the neshama of David HaMelech will be bound up
in the bond of life is referring to the eternal life of Olam Haba. And we'll discuss different lessons from there, and we'll continue.
For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.